You're listening to the Love is Black podcast.
Where the host is fly.
The love is dope.
And the conversation is always 100.
Welcome back to the Love is Black podcast. I'm Carice.
And I'm Harvey.
And we are talking to you. Yay!
What was that? We are talking to you? That wasn't on the script, baby.
But that's what we're doing.
That is correct.
I'm trying to be as accurate as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you're very accurate. We are talking to the people. And actually, specifically, you are, because the people are really here for you.
Yes.
I'm just the side piece. I'm the side
car. I don't know that that's how you want to describe yourself, but okay.
Whatever, man. I feel like, you know, the Carice show and Harvey shows up sometimes.
Or it's just Love is Black, where we talk about love.
That's black.
That is black, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So when you say it, it's okay. When I say that, you're like, why are you saying that?
Because it's weird. It's still weird, even though I said it. It's just, you know.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yes. Well, I love you so much.
Do you?
I do. The most.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's good to hear. I appreciate that. Love is beautiful, especially when it's black.
Yes. Yes. Well, I actually want to talk about some times where maybe love is less than beautiful.
Okay.
Where love might be a little bit irritating.
Mm. Mm.
Love might be a little bit of a gear grinder.
Ooh,
love might be a little bit of a pesterance. Is that a word?
A pooper of the party.
It might be a poopy party.
Poopy party. I was trying to keep it somewhat professional, a pooper of the party per se, but you know, a poopy party.
A poopy party.
A poopy party.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are times where you might be seeing someone or you are in the early dating phases where you're starting to see and you're getting comfortable with each other. So you're starting to see more of who that person is. And there might be a time where you find out that they may be a serial killer.
Wow. A serial killer.
Yes.
Okay. And that's strong, but we get
right. Is it though?
Yes.
Is it
serial
though?
Killer.
I feel like it is very common knowledge that anybody who pours the milk into the bowl first and the cereal second is a serial killer.
But I'm bummed.
Not that kind of cereal. Like people. Like they kill a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't understand how you do that. How do you pour, how do you fill a bowl with milk, then put something solid in it? Like it doesn't make logical sense to me. Like
yes.
Who does that? You know, I mean, me, when I pour my Raisin Bran or my Captain Crunch, or my Honey Bunches of Oats.
Okay, you like cereal, I get
Occasionally,
it.
Occasionally, I like cereal. So then I pour it into the bowl, and I like to see it sitting there. And then I like to pour the milk on the cereal and see the milk bounce off of a bran flake. Or maybe a little bit of a mess around because some milk sprinkled about. Don't worry, I always clean it.
Oh, my God. This sounds horrible, actually. This is like the opposite of what I would want.
No. This is the opposite of what you would want?
Yeah, so okay. Why is milk splashing about?
Because, you know, that's the way. Cereal is not flat. It's going to be bumpy. There's going to be some activity there. And the milk hits it at the right way, splash about. But then as you see the milk rise and the cereal comes to you, like that's the way a bowl of cereal should present.
Okay, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, that was a lot for a description. What I feel like is it's just good ratio and, you know, problem solving if you pour the cereal first. Because you know how much cereal you want to eat, right? So you just pour the cereal first and then you have a good ratio of milk. If you pour the milk first, you might have to eat excess cereal in order to get that same ratio. Like, who needs all that extra sugar?
Yeah, I mean, I think doing it cereal first makes sense because then the meat of the cereal, the meat of the meal in that case is the cereal. You feel that the milk is the extra. That's just the way it should be. Anything else is questionable. I don't
Signs
know.
Of a sociopath.
I don't. These are some strong words here. Sociopath. Let's just say you, how about mentally unstable if you do the milk first?
Yes, sociopaths are mentally unstable.
Yeah, but they're like the, like they're really mentally unstable.
Right.
How about somebody who's kind of mentally unstable?
Like just a serial killer?
Just a serial killer. Yeah, just a no, not. It's just not bad. I don't want to defend people that I don't know, but it feels rough to be like, oh my goodness, such a nice
Jeffrey
guy.
Jeffrey Dahmer poured milk first. And then cereal.
Did he eat his black people with milk?
And then he had a couple of eyeballs.
Yeah. Black people and milk? I don't know about that. I thought he ate his black people raw. But no, I don't know.
No, he poured the cereal after the milk.
Okay.
Serial killer.
Okay.
Boom.
Okay. Him. Hmm. That guy. Son of Sam. I heard same thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Ted Bundy.
Same thing. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we have a pattern.
Of just serial killers who pour their milk first, then the cereal.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So it's irrational. Stop doing it. If you're listening to this podcast now, please put down the gun, the knife, or whatever weapon you have and just try it the right way. Just try it with pouring the cereal first and then the milk. I guarantee you it'll change your life. It might keep you out of jail. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. But in especially bad in jail, they probably don't even have cereal. So then you go there and then you may not even get to do it wrong because you don't get cereal at all.
Well,
so
that's part of the penal system is that you really shouldn't be around cereal, honestly.
I guess.
That's what you deserve.
That's what you deserve. No cereal for you.
Exactly.
You're killing people, no cereal.
Exactly. No. You've earned this.
Yeah. English muffin and shut up. That's it. And keep it moving. Say it.
That is outrageous.
as we keep this ridiculous conversation on and we talk about food, another thing, one of our children is actually kind of annoying about this. When we talk about food, there's people who are really picky about what foods can touch each other on a plate.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our children will not eat food if like the meat and the rice, if they touch, like, and I think she's gotten better, but it was really ridiculous before.
Yes.
And the real problem is that her younger sister has then since followed suit. And if she had no problem with eating, but then this one does it, so now I can do it too. I can't do this. This beef touched the rice and this sauce and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, they're children, so they're already annoying to begin with.
Right. They're already mini sociopaths.
Mini sociopaths. To then be all picky about food that you didn't buy or cook. It's just been placed in front of you, tasty goodness for you to eat, and you mad because your white rice has sauce from the beef. It's stuff like that that leads to children that's when you become ward of the state.
I mean, it really feels like the start of racism, you know? How are they segregating food? Next step is segregating people.
Wow, the start of, oh my goodness.
Right?
Wow.
Right?
I wanted to disagree.
You can't.
But it's a clear pattern.
Exactly.
You know, it's crazy. First, your white rice and your chicken, they can't be together.
Nope. Then, you can't be by that dark meat.
Exactly. Then you don't want your barbecue, then your coleslaw.
Exactly.
You know what? And then all of a sudden, and then those are the people who eat their steak well.
Or those are the people that have raisins in the coleslaw.
Raisins in the coleslaw.
Mm.
And then all hell breaks loose.
Yes.
And the next... They have like a closet with guns, knives, and all stuff like that.
And a Klan robe.
And a Klan robe. The Klan robe. this went bad really fast. And a Klan robe. Where are you getting a Klan robe from?
I don't own one. So I have no idea where you would purchase one.
Neither. I don't know. And I didn't ask because I really don't want to know. So don't send us any. I don't want to link to like clanrobe.org.
.com.
I don't need to know. Don't do it. I'm sure you can get them. I believe it. And we'll leave it at that. Another food thing for me, because before I met you, you know, I used to work in New York City and I would take the train in from Jersey, take PATH in. And I would walk to work because I used to work in Barnes & Noble, Lincoln Center. So at 62nd or something. And it took the PATH to get off in 42nd, and I would just walk up because I love New York. I love walking the streets. And I would get a water dog, like
A water dog.
Yes, I would get a water dog maybe every other block. Oh, so beautiful.
But now, like a psychopath, you heat up hot dogs in the microwave instead of heating it up like a normal person in water.
Nuking it gets it done.
Like a psychopath.
I'm going to need a list of all the things that psychopaths do.
This is what we're doing. This is literally, you're going to have to play back the episode.
Okay, so am I like an official psychopath because I will nuke my hot dogs? Or is it just one of seven characteristics and so far I only have one?
So far you only have one. Right, because I think three or more is a clear sign to call the police.
Three or more. Okay, so it's really good that we're recording this, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, great. So for me, as the potential psychopath that I am, for me, when I have my hot dog, I need my hot dog, and I have a specific order for my hot dog, my condiments. It must be spicy brown mustard, or maybe
can't be regular mustard.
I like spicy brown mustard.
Okay, sorry.
See, go just ahead. Like I like you, because you spicy and you brown, baby. Next, I like ketchup. Then relish, then sauerkraut, and then if this place has it, then like the hot dog flavored hot dog onions. That's the way I would get it. And I think,
what is a hot dog flavored onion? I feel like I've asked you this before. It doesn't make any sense.
There's some flavored sauce that's for the onions. I don't know. I'll look it up. I'll show you because I bought it at one point. It was just
hot dog flavored onions.
Onions for hot dogs. I don't think it's
that's
hot
what it said.
I don't think it's hot dog flavored onion. I'm just saying it incorrectly. But it is onions flavored for hot dogs. It's just something about it. I will show you when we're done here.
The people don't understand it either. They don't know.
No, that's not true. The people who know about hot dogs know exactly what I'm talking about. I think it's Sabrettes or something who makes it. And it's tasty. But whatever. And if I have a hot dog and the order is not correct, I can't eat the hot dog. Not a psychopath, just someone who's particular about his condiment.
Okay. All right. So let's take a little interim right here to really talk about what do you do when you are new in a relationship? Because it took me a while to find out you were a hot dog psychopath. What do you do when you are...
What is a hot dog psychopath?
When you are new in a relationship.
Okay.
And you're now discovering, oh... crap, I've been listening to this podcast and I've got tick, 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 tick for my significant other. Like, they are probably...
What you trying to say?
Not a good person.
Oh, I'm not a good person?
I said three. Okay. Three. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you only had one of the things so far.
Okay.
Let's find out if we make it through the podcast. Okay?
The hot dog thing is not part of it, though.
It is.
It is not. I'm at two.
It's definitely, yes.
So I'm at two already.
No, you're at one. The hot dog thing was its own one.
Okay.
Yes.
The hot dog was the first one. Okay. So, yes. Okay. All right. That's good. All right.
Yeah. Well, so what do you do? Like, what would you do if you found out that, you know, I was a psychopath while we were dating.
So while we were dating and I discovered that you...
Pour milk and then pour cereal.
Or that you had a glass of milk with your medium well steak.
Yeah.
See, the problem in this situation is that I was already smitten by you. So I would have to see how much I'd be willing to deal with. Because if it's, okay, what was the first thing we were talking about? The first thing was cereal and milk. If I had, like, I went to your parents' house earlier when we were dating and I see you hang out and I was there early or something and you just, like, had a bowl of milk and you just poured it. So I'm like, oh, she must have a cat or something. So she's just pouring that out. And then the next thing you do is pull out your cornflakes or what's the other ridiculous cereal that you like? Was it mini wheats? What is it?
Shredded wheat bran. Oh, it's so good.
Right. And if I saw
Product 19? Oh.
If we ever become...
Moment of silence for Product 19, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're back. If we ever become huge, like we have to get some talk show or something, please bring back Product 19.
Yes.
See that happen.
I need to talk to the CEO of Kellogg's.
It was Kellogg's, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But so if I saw you pouring milk first and then you poured your cereal, then I'm like, okay. So then what we end up doing here is really, for me, I'm like, how is she cute enough for me to get past the fact that she pours her milk first and then her cereal?
Nobody's cute enough for me to get past the fact that they are a psychopath.
Okay. But I don't, not a psychopath.
Oh, sociopath.
Okay, sociopath, whatever. So you're not a sociopath yet. You have the signs of it.
Okay. Got it.
As Chappelle would say, you're not a hoe, but you wear the hoe's uniform, that type of thing. So okay. Maybe you're becoming that. So that's just something to consider.
Okay. Sociopath in training.
Right. So just say it's a red flag. So it's just like, okay, let me just keep that. Right.
Maybe it's a yellow flag for you because it doesn't seem like, it seems like you're like overlooking it. Maybe it's a yellow flag for you, not like a red, like.
No. So I recognize it being there. I see it. I don't let it, you know, it's a temporary stop. It's not like the ender. But I'm like, okay, I have to keep an eye on her and her cereal situation and her milk. That. You're not a condiment person. Mm. Unless, of course, we're talking about a proper hamburger and french fry situation. Where do you stand?
What are you talking about? Hamburger, french fry
situation? Yes. How do we deal? Do we, you know, let's...
Oh, I think it's weird if people eat the french fries first. Like, that's a legitimate problem. That's
a problem.
I think that's, like, an institutionalized, like, you need to be institutionalized type of problem. Like, why are you eating french fries, which is a clear and obvious side? Okay. It's a side item. You can order it separately as a side item. Why on earth would you eat that and complete that before you finish your main entree, the burger?
So then I have a few questions here. Is your problem that they eat the fries first?
Yes.
What if they eat some but don't finish them first?
Right, you don't want to finish them first.
Right, so...
You can eat some fries first. I love fries.
So it's okay to have a few of the fries, then have some of the burger.
Yeah.
But if you eat all your fries first, then go to the burger, sociopath?
It's a problem. Like, you're probably about to go shoot someplace up. Wow. Or like these are... Wow. Ted Bundy, we talked about it, you know? Like, these are things he did.
Yeah, from what I can gather, what I read about Ted Bundy is he liked... frosted mini wheats, all in milk that he had previously poured.
Mm-hmm.
He liked his burger, lettuce, tomato, onions, with fries that were undercooked, and he would eat the undercooked fries first. Like, you see somebody like that, you turn around and you run.
Yeah, no, like, really.
How does that even do? For me, it depends on where I'm going when I'm eating. If I run up on a restaurant and they have good fries, and maybe I'll order that as a side or something. You know, some places they have like a basket of fries and you get that as an appetizer before you wait and stuff. So if it's ordered as a side, it's fine. But if we go to a place and they bring my burger and my fries, then depending upon how good the fries are, maybe I just put my ketchup on there. But if I'm not sure, then I tip the ketchup on the side so I can dip a fry in there and then experience it from there and see how I go.
I mean, you could just allow the fries to be fries, like let the fries fry and eat the fry.
But they are
just
fries.
Just as they are.
But they are
without
fries.
Adding extra.
Good ketchup enhances a fry.
Does it, though?
Yes, it does.
Because, I mean, does makeup enhance my face?
Nothing enhances your face. Cause it's
there
perfect.
We go. Nothing enhances a french fry because it's perfect.
That's the irony of you saying that. Because how many restaurants have we gone to where they have ruined the fries when you told them what you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
Those
weren't fries.
What the hell were they?
I don't know. They hand me undercooked potatoes. Like, those were not french fries.
An undercooked burger is not a burger?
It's not a burger.
It's just a slab of meat.
Exactly.
Burger Junior.
Like,
you're
raw
not
meat.
A full-grown,
like,
burger.
If you're going to hand me raw meat, don't call it a burger. I could go get raw meat from the butcher. He's not going to tell me, here's a burger.
He's going to, here's meat.
Exactly.
It's ground.
Exactly.
Do something with it. Okay. Mm-mm. No, I like a good fry. Like, I like the fries from Five Guys. We used to get those all the time. The kids used to love that. A bag of cholesterol. And you could see the cholesterol dripping out the bag. But damn, that's a good fry.
I was smaller then.
Mm. Oh, stop.
Now I don't eat like that. And still.
Oh, my.
Supersized me.
supersize you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I could pick you up at a McDonald's. Oh, I can get a bigger version. Instead of large fries, I can supersize fries. Let me take a bag of Carice and head home. A bag of fries.
You know what? I can't.
Yes, you can.
I try.
Yes, no. I really do try. All good. Good fries. And I think that is fair. The one place, like Five Guys fries, I never really put ketchup on them things because there was some good fries.
Really good. But they had to be well done.
Yes.
And the problem is that you had to like threaten them. You had to be like, yo, my wife is pregnant, whether I was pregnant or not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did that pregnant. For years.
She needs mm-hmm. French fries. They have to be crispy. Mm-hmm. Don't send me back home, man, without no crispy French fries.
That's literally, I mean, I told you that I said that. You never heard me say that, but that's literally
no,
what I
that sounds right.
I
exactly
literally,
like
that's what I had
said?
To do. Like, to the point when I used to go to that same Five Guys, and I would say it more than once. Like, there were people there who remembered me saying it and would keep them fries in there longer.
Mm-hmm.
Once I went, made the fries, they weren't well done. Dude was like, oh, my bad. Keep them fries. I'm going to do another one for you. So I had a bag of medium okay fries. And then dude gave me another bag of crispy, like well done, really good fries. So like a few potatoes had to die before the potatoes you wanted fried were probably made.
Yes.
So that's another thing. You are particular about your fries.
Frontline casualties.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a thing for me before. Not until I met you did I have an appreciation for the crispy fry.
Can I say that I've spread it to like friends and stuff too? So like when we go out, mm-hmm. I'm like, I need my fries crispy, like very crispy, like mm-hmm. extra crispy, like burn them a little.
Yep.
And then sometimes people look at me like, I got it. You said crispy. No, you don't got it because nope. You about to hand me a plate full of trash.
Soft ass fries. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, everybody else at the table will order it the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'll take some crispy fries too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, crispy fries. Everybody wants crispy fries.
You done started
crispy
something.
Crispy fries, mm-hmm. they're the ish, okay?
They are the
Anybody
ish.
Who's eating undercooked potatoes.
Mm. Sociopath?
Sociopath. Done. It's a wrap. Like, we can't speak ever again.
Oh my God, no, because you're all mushy. You got soft potatoes in
exactly.
your mouth. I don't even understand what you're saying.
Exactly.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh my goodness. That I can say truthfully, a few things in regards to food that you have changed or you have exposed me to. So fries, crispy fries, that's one. For me, I never saw anybody pat down pizza like you do. I never saw anybody do that. You, the napkin, and you just like patting it down.
Collecting the oil.
And because it's, to me, I just assumed the oil was part of the, you know, was part of the package.
Ew.
But you, I see you doing that. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I'm saving my life. I'm saving my veins and my, you know, and such. Let me get some of that grease off. And because that's another thing that you, so another thing you do. Pat them down. I'm like, I should try that. So that's, yeah. So you've had, I guess, a positive effect.
Oh, good.
On,
very trying. Good. I'm still trying to get you to stop putting hot dogs in the microwave.
Whatever. But the biggest thing you did, and this was even before we were like dating, when we would just go out to eat, and I feel like I remember like the look of disdain on your face when I think it was Outback, and we got steak, and I got medium well, and I think the, like, I don't know if it was disdain, disgust, fear, because you must have thought I was a psychopath or a sociopath.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, who eats their steak medium well?
Who eats it well?
Who eats it well? So
well done is like mm-hmm. a waste of meat.
It's a crime against a crime of passion right there.
It's a waste of meat. I mean, you may have well had like went and go spit in a cow's face.
Spit in a cow's face.
Yeah. Like, I don't respect you. I don't value your life at all. I will not honor your dead carcass by eating, you know, quality versions of you. I don't know.
If the cow understands all that, then he shouldn't die anyway, because that's a smart ass cow. Oh my goodness. But
I'm just trying to say it's disrespectful.
Agreed. But that's one thing that you did. That's one thing you definitely did change with me, was that the whole thing
coming
was steak.
Down on the scale.
Coming down to steak, because now I can't do the medium rare. Like, you want it mooing. I'm not there. I medium. I've gone from well to medium well to a legit medium.
But sometimes they mess it up. And
right.
they give you mine or give me yours. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, mine is overdone. And you're like, mine's underdone.
Right.
And it's like, oh, this is stupid.
Exactly.
They gave us the wrong plates.
Yeah, and that happens a lot more than you would think.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
It
at
is.
Like places that are steakhouses.
Yeah, no, they're not steakhouses. don't get this right. I'm going to say this. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Just because you put Steakhouse in your title doesn't make you one. I've had many discussions. Like, what was it? Is it Outback? Is not a steakhouse. They have steak. There's a difference.
But they're Outback Steakhouse.
Okay. Harvey Steakhouse. That's my name now. So now I have steak. They just put it, then they put it in the name. That don't make it a steakhouse. That don't make it a steakhouse. I'm saying Harvey's Quesadillas. So now I'm a quesadilla house. Like, that's all it is. There are very few good steakhouses. And I will take you. I've taken you to one really good steakhouse. And even that was, we got to go back to New York. We got to go to the real good ones. We got to go to the good ones. But that's a whole different episode.
Okay.
It is. Yes.
Okay.
But yes, so you have positively affected how I look at some foods, you know. I used to enjoy pasta, you know. I used to like pasta at Olive Garden, and you just like I could make this at home for a third of the price.
Exactly.
So now I'm like, okay.
Yeah, last time we went to Olive Garden, I felt so disrespected. So I was just talking about spitting in the face of the cow. Mm-hmm. I felt like literally Olive Garden, you know, you walk in there and like they spit in your face. They're like, we don't value you. We're going to charge you $24 for pasta with sauce on it. What the fuck? Pasta with sauce?
No, it's $20 of pasta. It's $24 if it's got sauce.
Oh,
and God. Then if you want cheese, and
if
then
you want
like,
us to sprinkle a piece of meat in it.
Sprinkle a piece of meat?
Yeah, no, like there's like, two little specks of beef or something. Mm-hmm. Like they're
$34.
Meat sauce. Yeah, their meat sauce is not like gold. Like, why is there an extra charge for that?
And then they went and got rid of like the best desserts there, like your limoncello cake or whatever. And like the thing, I think
that was so good.
That used to make it up for you, I think. Yeah. Like, but then you're like,
that was the only reason to go: breadsticks and limoncello cake.
Right. And now all of a sudden they messed that up. So you know, I can't even run up in the restaurant the same now with you because you know
it's disrespectful.
It is disrespectful. Man. Do we have any other thoughts? Is any other?
I think that. You know, the creme de la creme is always the toilet paper conversation.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In terms of, this is a very simple question, but it's one that will just last long after we're gone.
Yes.
So.
Because I don't care if you vote blue or you vote red. I don't care if, you know, you are rich or poor. What I care about is what way do you put the toilet paper roll with the opening or the, I guess, the free sheet pointing down, like over.
Mm-hmm.
It's over the roll pointing down or with it under the roll where you have to pull up.
Now, that's a problem. Toilet paper, I don't understand. I shouldn't have to lift anything up. The only thing I should have to lift is the toilet bowl cover. That's as far as I should go. I should have to live. It should always be coming down.
Yes.
Always be coming down.
This is what has built our marriage. This is the strong foundation for our marriage, is that, you know, you are capable of hanging the toilet paper and I don't have to go and change it.
Mm-hmm. Because you would. Every time.
I would change it.
Every time.
I would change. And I'd be so annoyed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know you would. Something else occurred to me that I think actually is the biggest thing in terms of us, but we'll finish with the toilet paper thing. But if I don't think I could actually do it. I don't think I've actually used toilet paper where I had to live. I'm pretty much wherever I've gone, if I'm able to manually fix it, I will fix it. And then I will feel better about whatever I'm doing.
Wow. You change it at people's like houses and
I'm
stuff?
I'm sure I have.
Oh, wow. I don't change it at people's houses. I just know never to go back there.
Or I just wait till I get home. Sometimes it's not worthy. Sometimes I just can't do that at your house. Because if something like that, if that's how you deal with your toilet paper, it makes me question other things.
All your character is in question. Mm-hmm. Your entire character, your integrity, your morals, like everything is in question. Get your ish together.
Have you ever heard people like, you can't eat at everybody's house? Like, if your toilet paper situation is in question, I don't know if I can have your potato salad.
Exactly.
And like, I don't
know. It's probably got raisins.
Exactly. Oh, it definitely has raisins. Not even like, no, old ass raisins.
Wow.
Old ass raisins.
These aren't even fresh raisins.
Not even fresh. No, borderline
the
wine.
Disrespect.
Like terrible. But the big thing for us is, and it occurs to me, is you and driving. Now let's say while we're dating early on, and you had discovered that I was one of those people who would get into the left lane and I would not be driving at a, you know, a much faster speed than the people in the middle lane.
Have this conversation.
Are you saying that's what I did?
I don't think you want to have this conversation. Wow. At least not on the podcast.
Wow. So, okay.
Perhaps another day?
Damn. Okay. Well, okay. Then allow me to just say that I think that many a potential relationship that you may have had was ruined.
Yes.
By people who was not following the proper traffic laws.
Exactly.
And driving, especially as a New Jersey person and yourself, you know, you're trying to get down the turnpike or, you know, whatever expressway, whatever. And people in the middle lane are flying by and somebody's holding up business in the left. I feel like you would have kicked them out the car. Dare I say, shoot out their tires.
Oh, yes. That's always a really good option.
To shoot out somebody's tires?
It's a great option. I feel like that would solve so many traffic problems. If I felt like I did something stupid on the road, somebody's going to shoot out my tires, I would do nothing stupid on the road. Nothing. Right? So I'm just taking that logic and multiplying it by the 300 million people in America and saying, hey, if the threat is your tires will get shot out, mm-hmm. if you do something stupid on the road, how many people do you think are going to do something stupid on the road? A very small percentage. Right.
Not as many as people who do that now. I would just like to say that we do not condone attempted murder.
It's not attempted murder.
And you shooting out somebody's tires.
It's traffic control.
Somebody going like 60 on I-95 here in Florida.
They shouldn't be going 60 and doing stupid stuff.
Right. But if you shoot out their tires at that rate of speed, there's potential for bad things to happen.
Well, and that is on them. The onus is on them.
Not the person who shot out the tires.
No.
You take no responsibility.
They did something stupid.
And the repercussions, you almost died.
Those were the consequences.
Oh, my.
It is not up to me to be the, you know, judge and jury of all people. You've got to take some onus for what you did, you know? If you're in a ditch somewhere with all four tires shot out, you have to reflect internally and be like, what did I do to get me here?
Okay. All four tires? Does that mean you, so you're behind them because they're going too slow. So let's say you shoot out the back tires. Do you then go around and shoot the front two just to finish the job? That is some.
I don't know. I'm not saying that I would shoot somebody's tires out. I'm just saying that that sounds to me like a rational deterrent from doing stupid things on the road. Imagine the improvements we'd have in traffic flow. Volume.
You know why we'd have it? There'd be less people on the road because so many of them died. Because you shot out their tires. There'd be so many. It'd be just Mercedes on the side, Chevy over here, trucks tipped over. Every day you'd be driving by there's people that you shot.
Who said that it would be me? I'm just saying it's a great deterrent.
Okay.
You know? I don't know. I think that is a really great traffic plan. You know, vote for Yeezy 2024.
Wow. That's recorded.
Yes.
Vote for Yeezy 2024. Let it be known. I did not say that. The hot wife did. Send all your questions and comments to Carice Laguerre at loveisblackpodcast@gmail.com.
Wow.
Yes. All right, I'm trying to think. So we covered driving. We covered some food.
We covered all the major
things. We did cover the major ones.
Feel like, you know, if you meet somebody who's not showing signs of pure sanity, make sure you keep your sanity. Whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. If that's maybe avoiding the issue for some time. Mm-hmm. If that's you confronting it head on and trying to see if maybe you can, you know, bring them on to the side of good and out of the darkness of evil, then, you know, do what you gotta do. Protect your love.
Protect your peace.
And protect your peace.
Protect your peace. If that person is pouring milk before cereal, I suggest you run. I hope you have good sneakers on.
Yeah, I hope you can run fast enough.
And break out. If this, you know, there's a many, if these people, if there's people who refuse to line up the toilet paper the right way, that's a sure sign that their worst problems you just don't see yet.
Get out.
Run.
Okay.
Run
the little teacup. If they whip out a teacup and they start spinning it really slow, mm-hmm. Get out.
Peace.
Get out.
Get out. Run for cover. Run for your life. Because you never know. That's just the beginning. Three strikes, you're out.
All the way out. And you don't want to be all the way out the game, okay? Mm-hmm.
And we done. You listen to this episode and we gave you like 4 or 5 of them. If somebody hits 3... leave. You're welcome.
Yes. And so far, just for the update, we've made it through. And you
survived.
Yes.
You survived.
You are only one part sociopath.
That's, yes, that's true. You, of course, for some reason, don't cover anything on this list because you're not. I mean, was there anything here?
I mean, you know, these are lofty goals. You know, there's not many people out there like me.
Damn right. Exactly. Damn right. That's what I'm saying. See, you otherwise. I'm not this. I can't really deal with other people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You're particular, but you're hot, so it's okay.
Oh,
we've said that before. You know, if you know, you're cute enough to get away with some of this stuff, and that works for me.
Well, I think we've definitely come to the conclusion that love is irrational.
Irrational.
Yes. Don't base your love on, you know, these signs of mental instability. Base your love on love.
Base your love on love. It's moments like this that I remembered why I married you. It's not the looks.
It's the deep and profound thoughts.
It's the intellect.
Yes.
That's what this is. It's the
Well, love is irrational.
Oh, my God.
Love is many things.
But this good love is black.
Thanks for listening to the Love is Black podcast.
Please help support the podcast by subscribing and leaving a review.
And connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Love is Black Podcast.
See you next week.